Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. So it's not so much about the steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a matter of a focus. There is absolutely nothing about working in the world that wouldn't permit you to have self-realization. Self-realization doesn't require us to be sitting in a cave, doesn't require us to leave our lives, leave the world. In fact, if you actually look at the teachings and the scriptures and the stories in our scriptures, the vast majority of them are actually stories of awakened beings in the world. We've got such beautiful examples, such beautiful models of our rishis, our sages in the world. Awakened, enlightened, realized. And what it has to do with, self-realization is not about where my body is sitting. If it required me to remove my body from one place to another, it wouldn't be self-realization. Then it would just be a relaxing vacation, right? If you're stressed in your job, stressed in your home life, and you take a week or 2 weeks or 5 days or a long weekend, and you go off somewhere, and you find relaxation, you find that peace you were looking for. But then, of course, you lose it when you come back to the house, back to the office. You haven't really gained anything. All you've had is a few days. Holiday, few-day vacation. But self-realization is not about a vacation from your life. It's not about how do I remove myself from one place to another. It's not about stopping to do the things that I find challenging. Self-realization is about the awareness that wherever I am, whatever I am doing, whomever I am with, I know who I am. That I don't lose myself in what I'm doing. What happens to most of us when we are in the workplace or in the social place or in this world is we lose ourselves. We identify as the roles, the relationships we play. We identify as our job. So either I'm the CEO, I'm the president, I'm the boss, or I'm the puny peon, I'm nothing, I'll never achieve anything. Or it's the constant jealousy and judgment and competition with the people in the cubicle next to you or the cubicle across the hall, or because we've identified as the job. We've identified as the role, as the body. And that's where we go to a wedding, somebody's dressed in nicer clothes than we are. Their husband or their wife is being nicer to them than our husband or wife is being to us. Their children seem better behaved than our children do. And suddenly we are miserable. We feel jealous. We start looking at our own lives in a different way. We're frustrated with our loved ones, with our children, with our clothes. But that's not the outer world's fault. That's a fault in my mind that I have made a conscious decision to identify as this role. And so self-realization is wherever I am, in a cave, on the banks of Ganga, in my office place, in a cubicle, in the best office, corner office overlooking everything because I'm the boss, in my family, wherever I am, that I don't identify as that. Because I know that isn't me, that's just what I'm doing right now. In this particular role in this drama, in this particular act of the drama, I'm the boss or I'm the window washer. In the next act of the drama, I'll be something totally different. In this particular act of the drama, this incarnation, I'm this one's wife or this one's husband or this one's mother or this one's father, and we are kind of at this ranking regard to our financial status, maybe this ranking with regard to our social status. And in the next act, an hour later, a year later, a lifetime later, we'll be in a completely different relationship, completely different situation. And I don't identify with those temporary roles. That's the self-realization. Self-realization literally means I realize who I am. I realize the self. I don't get confused and think I'm the boss or I'm the window washer. I remember who I really am. That may be playing the role of the boss or playing the role of the window washer. But it isn't who I am. So self-realization should be there everywhere. Because the truth is, whether I'm the boss in an office building, the mail clerk in an office building, or sitting in a cave, I'm the meditator in the cave in the Himalayas. They're all just different roles. None of them is who I am. I'm no more the meditator in the cave in the Himalayas than I am the window washer, than I am so-and-so's husband or wife or so-and-so's mother or father. That's also just what I'm doing in this act of this drama. Who I am is soul, spirit, divinity, consciousness, truth, love. That is who I am. And self-realization is knowing that in every situation, every circumstance, realizing who I am is not the role I'm playing. It's that which is constant, regardless of the role I play.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
The first aspect of can we incorporate aspects of different religions into our lives? Absolutely. The idea that religions are boxes with four walls and a top and a bottom and we're stuck inside and choose your box or you're born into your box and that's it. It's not only a fallacy, but it's a tragedy because religions are ways of knowing God, ways of connecting to God. And at their core, at their purest, at the deepest level, religions actually are that which connect us to the truth of who we are. And each of them, although God is one, although that truth is one, although soul and spirit is one, they're all different ways of getting into the same stream. Different languages, different books, different types of stories, different ways of worship. But ultimately that stream of truth, of life, of love, of divinity is one. There's not a Christian river of truth and a Muslim river of truth and a Hindu or Sanatan Dharmi river of truth. There's just a river of truth. But there's different ways of getting into that. And so yes, the first part is, of course, absolutely, you can incorporate different aspects. I know many people who incorporate different aspects of their religion, of different religions. Particularly, this tends to happen with people who are born in the West, born into a Judeo-Christian tradition, either as Jewish or as Christian, but who feel very deeply touched and inspired by either the Hindu tradition or the Buddhist tradition, or maybe both. And that's beautiful. And there's no reason that one must give up one in order to have another. You know, I share very frequently, actually, that on a personal level, for me, I was raised in a Jewish family. I was raised in the Jewish religion and always felt very, very deeply connected to the Jewish people, to the Jewish history, to the culture. But the way that it was spoken about and taught and practiced in the community that I was raised in was much more about the community and the culture than about God. So when I came to India and I stood on the banks of Ganga, in a place that was undeniably Hindu, in the midst of a ceremony, the Aarti ceremony, that is a Hindu ceremony, and I experienced God. It fell right into a place that had been not yet occupied. It wasn't like a Hindu version of God came in and kicked a Jewish version of God out. It was an experience of God without religion, without borders or boundaries. God is infinite. Practitioners of different religions may have different ways that we dress, different types of habits that we use with how we look. We shave, we don't shave, we cut our hair, we don't cut our hair, we wear different colors, different head coverings. But God isn't wearing orange robes or a yarmulke or having a beard or having a bald head. God is infinite. And so, of course, in different traditions, we have different practices. But God is infinite. So for me, that experience of God just filled a place that up until that moment had been not filled. But it didn't kick anything out. And that's been really the same experience that I've heard so many people share who have adopted aspects of particularly Eastern traditions, Hinduism, Buddhism, into their Judeo-Christian life. So I would say, since God is infinite and God is boundless, why try to create borders and boundaries? Why try to say, well, this doesn't fit in my new box? That was my old box. Let's go boxless in our own minds. Doesn't matter what path we walk. Most of us walk the path we were born into. Not all of us. Some of us find a new path. But whatever path we're on, it's about walking that path to the best that we can. And then with regard to the idea of, can I embrace Sanatan Dharma? Of course you can. Sanatan Dharma doesn't mean convert to our box. Sanatan Dharma, the Sanskrit traditional way of referring to what we call Hinduism, literally means an eternal way of life. Sanatan means eternal. Dharma is, well, it's more than a way of life, but for the moment we'll say a way of life, a way of embodying righteousness, integrity, our core being, the truth of who we are. So it's an eternal way of embodying the truth of who we are, of experiencing the truth of who we are, of being the truth of who we are, living the truth of who we are. And that truth, there's not a Hindu way you are and a Muslim way you are and a Jewish and Christian way you are. The way you are is just divine. So, yes, by all means, sure, embrace Sanatan Dharma. But don't feel like that means you have to abandon or cut yourself out from wherever you were before. Just allow your experience of the divine to keep expanding and expanding and expanding. One of my favorite stories of this is the story of Ramakrishna Paramhans, who of course was born and raised in a Hindu tradition, had his first powerful experiences in the Kali temple in what's now West Bengal. But after he had those experiences, he thought, well, there's other traditions. And he then started diving into other religions to see, can he experience the same God through this path of Christianity, through this path of Islam? And he found that, yes, of course he could. So, as our as our sages and our mystics and our rishis and our saints tell us, the paths all take you to the same place.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
You find the courage to begin by realizing that you don't have a choice. We're always beginning something. It's a total fallacy to think that just because I don't engage in or start this particular idea, plan, adventure, project, that I'm somehow safe, right? I mean, we don't start those things because we lack courage, as the question said. How do we have the courage? But the fallacy is, the illusion is, that somehow if I don't start those things, I'm safe. That starting those things requires courage. New project, new relationship, new phase of life, new adventure, whatever it may be. For some people, a new restaurant takes courage, a new brand of toothpaste takes courage, right? I mean, there are people who are really, really creatures of habit. Everything takes courage. But the illusion that we're under is that if I don't do that, then I'm safe. That those things are risky, not doing them is safe. And the dilemma with that is it's not true. Not beginning just means I'm stagnating. Life moves forward. Moves only forward. There's a beautiful line in a poem by Khalil Gibran, who's one of my favorite poets, and it says something like, and forgive me for paraphrasing, but it says something like, life moves always forward and tarries not with yesterday. Always moving forward. You cannot go back to yesterday even if you wanted to. You cannot go back to last year even if you wanted to. Why one might want to is a totally different issue. But even if you wanted to, you can't. Ask anyone who's tragically lost a loved one or lost their own health. People would give anything to go back. Just one more day with that person. Just one more day of health. But you can't. So we actually are being propelled into newness, whether we like it or not. The only question is, are we going to embrace it with presence and awareness, or are we not? And that's the courage. So don't think of it as courage in terms of the same type that it would require to, you know, go hang gliding or something. So you have two choices. You can either go hang gliding or not go hang gliding. But you don't have two choices about moving forward in life or not moving forward. Life is propelling us forward. It's just up to us of what that forward wants to be like. Do you want it to be stagnation? Do you want it to be just festering like an old wound? Do you want it to be stale? Do you want to be dead while there's still life in your body? Or do you want to embrace the truth? And that truth is that we're being propelled into newness, being propelled into tomorrow. That's what's happening. Every time the sun rises and sets, the moon rises and sets, it is a new day. Whether you get out of bed or not, it is a new day. Whether you take a new step or not, it is a new day. You don't get to stick all of the days that you didn't get out of bed somewhere into a bank account and call upon them later when you're ready. The days go by. Every day is new. But it's up to us of whether we are going to step into it. So the courage that's required is the courage to recognize I don't actually have a choice about newness today. I only have a choice of whether I am going to choose to be stuck. I'm going to choose to be stagnant. I'm going to choose to try to hold on to yesterday, even though I can't. To hold on to how things were, even though they are not like that now. We have to move forward. And so when you speak and ask about beginning something new, as I said, every day is new. Every time you eat breakfast, it's new. Everything is new every day. Because we are new every day. The body is slightly different every day. Our minds are different. They seem very similar to us because we live with it. You don't notice the change. But we are given this beautiful, beautiful opportunity to move into not just a newness of biology, not just a newness of the body that's decaying and sloughing off cells and getting new cells, not just the newness of constantly changing chemistry and electricity in the brain, but actually conscious newness. That's really the key. Everything is new. The choice is whether you want unconscious newness or conscious newness. Conscious newness is that type that takes courage. Because it's the courage to embrace and recognize the truth. That I, and only I, am responsible for my life. And so ask yourself when you're struggling with having the courage of something new, ask yourself, is not doing it, is knowing that I'm going to spend my whole life not doing it, is that worth the risk? Is that worth whatever risk I think there is in doing it? Because in not doing it, you're not being true to life, to the forward movement of life. And that doesn't mean be reckless and stupid, of course. Doesn't mean leave your common sense at the door. But it means Be connected to the flow of the universe, which is always changing, always opening, always new. And if you can connect to that, then the courage comes automatically.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
So many of us, all of us probably, crave that sense of being understood. Sense of being understood by friends, by family members, especially when we really open up. And we really share something very deep and very meaningful. There's an opportunity in those moments for very deep connection and very beautiful experience when you have that connection. And so to reach out for a connection and kind of hit a wall where the person you're reaching out to, from whom you expect that they will reach out and grab your hand there halfway, that they will understand, that they will go to that place with you, that they will connect in that space. When they don't, it's very difficult. It can feel like a betrayal by the friend, a betrayal by the universe. It can feel humiliating. You've opened yourself up, you've shared something, you've been vulnerable. And you weren't understood. And you weren't even understood by someone who you thought was a close friend. Which of course makes so many of us question, am I crazy? Is there really even any validity in what I've said and shared? And in a situation like this, in many situations, there's a two-part solution. There's an inner part and there's an outer part. The inner part is the acceptance. The inner part is simply about how can I accept, not love, not enjoy, not hope it happens again tomorrow, but simply accept this lack of connection, this lack of understanding. Can I sit in that void, in that space in which I feel that I have reached out and no one has grabbed my hand? Can I sit in that void comfortably? Again, doesn't mean you have to love it. Doesn't mean you have to choose it. Doesn't mean you hope it happens again tomorrow. But it means that the presence of that void is an opportunity, not a problem. Because the truth on a very deep spiritual level is, it is in that void that we really have the opportunity to experience the truth of ourselves. And while connection with others is beautiful, meaningful, and deeply important to our lives, every once in a while, it's really important and beneficial to sit in that void, to recognize that I may not have a connection out there. And here I am, because I have a connection inside. I'm not lonely. I may be alone, but I'm not lonely. And I'm not even alone on the deepest sense. I may just be alone in this level of connection. But I have a deeper connection. I have a connection with myself. I have a connection with the divine. I have a connection with the universe. I have a connection with creation. So the inner solution here is allow yourself to sit in that void. Don't allow the voices of judgment, either against the friend or against you. Don't allow those voices to steal that opportunity from you. Don't turn it into a drama of how you were misunderstood. Take it as an opportunity to really experience the void within, to experience the fullness in emptiness, the active fullness in silence. And I know that sounds like a paradox, but I meant to say it like that. Because the real deep silence is very full. The real emptiness is full of presence. But it's just not full of what we're used to it being full of. It's not full of the activity of other people. It's not full of the social activity. It's full on a much, much deeper level. So the inner solution is to have that. To realize, yes, I may be misunderstood by every single human being on this planet. And I still am whole and complete and divine and perfect and connected to the divine and ever so worthy of occupying my beautiful place on planet Earth. Then there's the outer solution. And the outer solution is with that person. Because again, as I said, connection is deeply important in our lives, as is inner connection, connection to God, connection to ourself. Outer connection is also important. Doesn't mean you have to have a vibrant social life or a large social circle. But it just means the ability to connect with the universe in form. Whether it's humans, whether it's animals, whether it's trees, whatever it may be. But the ability actually to connect with the world around you. Because in that connection, we have another opportunity, another way of experiencing the divine, of experiencing that expansiveness of the divine. So if this is a very good friend, as you said, I would reach out. Reach out to him or her and say, hey, you know, I felt really misunderstood. Maybe it was my language. Maybe it was a semantic issue. Maybe I caught you at a bad time. Can we try again? Because this point was really important to me. What I shared was really important. And I felt like it kind of hit against a wall there. And if it's really a friend, that friend is going to say, yeah, sure. Absolutely. And who knows, maybe they'll even say, yeah, you're right. You know, I was in the middle that day of going through something myself. My mind wasn't there. I wasn't able to connect. Try me again. Who knows what they'll say? But give it another chance. Because sometimes the lack of understanding isn't as deep and difficult as we may think. It may actually simply be an issue of the way that you expressed yourself. The words you use, the examples you gave, the moment that you caught the other person to try to explain something. So give it another try. But at the same time, stay anchored in the awareness inside that you don't need someone else to understand in order to validate who you are, what you feel, what you think. Someone else understanding it does not make it real, does not make it valid. We share, yes, because it's lovely to share. But don't be looking for the validity in the sharing. Share because sharing is beautiful. But get that validity from within yourself.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. There is a power. What's being called these days the law of attraction, the power of attraction. It's not as simple an equation as thinking about something brings it. Here we are in May. I could sit here on the banks of Ganga, sweating, thinking about snow all I want. And it's a pretty good chance that no matter how hard I think about snow, I'm not going to open my eyes and be surrounded by it. However, it's going to change my internal experience. So I certainly have the power, through thinking about snow, to change my internal experience of the physical heat. And so when we talk about the power of attraction, it's not just about attracting things from the outside to me, but it's the power to really create my world and my experience, much of which has to do with the inside. And yeah, sometimes it also attracts the outside for sure. That's especially true with regard to things like peace and joy and love and abundance. If I'm moving through the world in love, chances are I'm going to attract love. If I'm moving through the world in peace, I'm going to attract peace. It's like that beautiful story that I love of the old man who's sitting at this path in the between villages in the jungle. There's a young boy sitting at his feet, and a man walks by and he says to the old man, "How's the village up ahead? How are the people there?" And the old man says, "Well, where are you coming from? How are the people there?" And the old man says, oh God, they are the worst. They are liars and cheats and thieves. I'm so glad to be leaving them. And the old man says, oh, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but the people in the village up ahead are just the same. So the traveler, of course, is naturally dejected, but he keeps walking. What's he going to do? A little while later, another man walks by, and he also says to the old man, so how's the village up ahead? What are the people like there? And the old man says, well, where are you coming from? What was it like? And the man says, oh, I was leaving the most beautiful people. They were so full of love, so generous, so kind, so caring, so compassionate. The old man says, well, good news. That's exactly what the people in the village up ahead are like. And when he left, the little boy says to the old man, but how is that possible, Dadaji? There's only one village up ahead, and you told the first guy the villagers are liars and cheats and thieves. You told the second guy they're beautiful people. And the old man says, because it depends on what they see. The first one saw thievery and cheating, negativity. The second one saw love and positivity. So in that way, yes, we attract what we think about. But it's not as simple as a magic wand over the material universe. Me sitting here meditating on money does not mean I'm going to open my eyes and there's going to be a mound of dollars and rupees and euros in front of me. And that somehow if that mound isn't there, it means that there's a failure in my meditation or a failure in the power of my thought. The ancient teachings that say you create your reality of abundance, you create your reality of prosperity, they weren't talking just about mounds of bills. They were talking about an internal experience of abundance and prosperity. And yes, if in me my cup runneth over, that's what I'm going to live through. My bank account may not have very much in it at all. Doesn't mean that suddenly people in the world are going to start transferring large sums of money into my bank account. But one of the things that I learned in India at the very beginning and has stuck with me since is the people in this country, especially the people living in really traditional, what you could consider spiritual India, are so full. And I remember when I got here, talking to people who, in my Western concepts, they had nothing. They were living so far below the Western standards of poverty. And yet, their felt sense experience was abundance. If you so much as suggested that they were poor, they would say, nee, hum bilkul gareeb nahi hai, wo gareeb hai, hum gareeb nahi hai. We are not poor. That guy over there, he's poor, but we're not poor. Hamare paas bahut hai. We have a lot. And so many people in the world that I had come from who had what seemed like everything were living in an experience of lack. And so for all practical purposes are poor. And so that's the deeper teaching about this law of attraction, is it's not about if I meditate on prosperity, bills are going to somehow fall out of the sky upon me. Or my bank account is going to increase exponentially while I sleep. Right? Every once in a while I get one of those spam emails that says something like, make money while you sleep. That's not the prosperity, the abundance, the miracles, the manifestation that the spiritual teachings are referring to. It's an inner experience in your world of abundance. Because when you want to share, you're rich. When you want to grab, you're poor. So it's not about what you have. It's about the openness of your heart. So yes, thinking about how abundant I am absolutely draws abundance to me. That abundance may or may not come in the form of bills, but you will live in an experience of abundance if your mental framework becomes one of gratitude, of knowing that your cup runneth over, rather than one of lack and yearning. And if you think about love and peace and joy, not as in something you want to get, but as in the state you are in now. Thank you, God, for my joy. I am an embodiment of, a transmitter of peace and joy. I am love. Yeah, it's gonna bring that to you. Possibly from people in the outer world, but certainly in the inner world. And the truth of a spiritual life is your world is much more made up of that which takes place on the inside than the outside. And so the changing of the world that we need is a changing of the inner. And then, yeah, as we always say, jesse bithard vesse bahard. As is the inside, so is the outside. So align your thoughts, not with what you don't have, but with what you do have. And know that it is so. Know that it has always been so. And give thanks to God for opening your eyes to the truth that it is so. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio. Thank you.